Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my God. Oh my God, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Sean Black and I had like a crazy conversation prior to our show. Our usual pre-talk. It was a vulgar.
Yeah. Meanwhile, this guy is choking over here. Good grief. I'll do the opening for you this week. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, to the Absolute Truth Show. Of course, I guess I'm the host today. Sean Black in the building once again. And on the phone line, it is the one and only, the Tower of Power, the man of the hour, too sweet to be sour, the one and only.
That is so corny. Do not ever, ever do that again. Welcome to another chaotic edition of the Absolute Juice Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Also on the third line, I have Lady T, who's she have a bone to pick with me later on tonight. Lady T.
Not really. You just sounded like the Sour Patch Kid, the way Sean Black described you. Too sweet, too sour. I don't know.
I was using old wrestling vernacular on him. So.
Yeah.
The Tower of Power. Too sweet to be sour.
I'm so upset that Lady T tried to feed me apple at Thanksgiving dinner last week. You know,
come on, stop it.
Oh, I'm like, at least I told her, at least put some cheese on it or something on the apple.
Hopefully, everybody's Thanksgiving was good. I hope and pray for those that is celebrated, for those that listen to the show outside of the United States that don't celebrate Thanksgiving. We hope you had a great weekend. For those that live in the United States that do celebrate it, we hope you had a great Thanksgiving, whether you spent it with family, friends, the military, whatever. We thank you for joining the show.
Okay, are you finished sucking it up as usual?
I'm finished, yes.
Okay. Well, I'm happy you brought that up. Well, before I get to that, the number is 347-989-8402. But Thanksgiving, and from your personal experience, do you think Thanksgiving was the same this year? But a lot of people told me, family-wise, they were not feeling Thanksgiving. Do you think Thanksgiving, the meaning of it, is dying down? Or just to each his own, Sean Black?
Well, I think everybody makes of it what it is for them. Thanksgiving, when we look at all of the holidays that we, especially in the United States, celebrate, a lot of people think that some of them are either convoluted or they're taken out from other traditions. You know, whether people that celebrate Halloween wonder if it's still from the pagan tradition, or whether you believe what happened with Thanksgiving or Christmas or any holiday that you celebrate. Thanksgiving, in the meaning of it, in the eyes of what this country celebrates it as, it's supposed to be for family. Personally, you shouldn't use Thanksgiving as that one day to celebrate family, because you should always celebrate it every day, because there are lots of people that don't get the opportunity to celebrate giving thanks for what they have. So I guess if you want to look at it in that sense, outside of people yelling at each other about politics and yelling at each other about how much food that they're throwing out or who burnt this or whatever, it can be looked at as something that's just another commercialized holiday, but I actually enjoy the holiday, love the holiday, spend time with my mom since, as I've told everybody, I lost my grandmother earlier in the year. So to be able to do Thanksgiving is something that my mother and I were able to cherish this time. So I know a lot of other people get to celebrate it, and however you celebrate it is what's best for you. That's what I think.
Lady T? Well, I know you and I was going back and forth via text about our Thanksgiving.
Mine was actually quiet, and it's all about family. Same thing. I don't like putting a label on it, Thanksgiving, because everybody has a different opinion on what Thanksgiving is. So to me, what it felt like, especially that day, sure, you might do Sunday dinners and things like that, and your family gets together anyway. But a lot of people actually enjoyed it this time around, and it was a moment to just pause And I think be extra thankful because, you know, you're thankful every single day. A lot of us are anyway. But it was it felt like a moment of just pausing. Like, you know, I'm really, really thankful. This has been a good year and so forth. So I'm normally the Grinch when it comes to holidays. I just want the holiday season to hurry up and just pass. So I'm not really bothered by it this year, but it is what it is. And that's it. It's just a moment to me to, like, just pause and be extra thankful.
So for you, it's kind of like a day to hit the reset button.
Yeah, it's always like that for me during the holidays anyway, so.
Okay.
Wow. I'm so happy to hear that.
What would you expect out of Thanksgiving, and did you actually enjoy your Thanksgiving with your family?
The truth is, just like a lot of people, I don't care about holidays. I don't celebrate holidays. I do things for my kids because, you know, I believe that's the right thing to do. Spend time with my family. Me and my brothers, all we do is drink. And yell at the kids all day. So.
You don't need Thanksgiving to do that. You do that all the time.
You know, it's so
that's just a regular Saturday with you.
Exactly.
I'm thinking that's a regular Monday, Sunday through Saturday.
You know, we yell at the kids all night, you know, from jumping up and down, and we just drink. So there's no difference. I don't care about the food. I'm Thanksgiving out. But I call Sean Black on Black Friday. But I'm against Black Friday. I'm like, I love sales like everybody else, but I won't kill myself or get online or leave Thanksgiving dinner. Like, I'm listening to you guys talking about this, but at the same time, we have friends and family who leave their friends and family to go out, to go Black Friday shopping and deal with that chaos. I called Sean when I went to a store to look at something that was on sale that a friend told me about. I'm with my kids. I don't want to buy anything. I just want to see how it looks like in person. That 10 minutes alone at the store, I was waiting. I cursed people out, and I ran out. And I called Sean back right away. Like, and I believe, like, I just want to look at a Christmas tree that was on sale. And one lady in front of me just snatched a box. And, like, there's plenty of boxes. Why are you going to snatch one in front of me? In front of my kids. Mm-hmm. So I cursed them out. I'm like, it's not that serious. But it's just a mindset that people have.
It's a competition for a lot of people, and that's the crazy part.
But people fail to realize the same thing that you see on sale now, guess what? It's still on sale right now and tomorrow. And overall, you could get it online now.
And believe it, next week it's going to be a better sale from a person who has inside scoop on retail. Next week it's going to be an even better sale for you. So,
and the best the best time to get a sale really isn't Black Friday. It's usually the week before Christmas or the day after Christmas. One of those
guys, I'll tell you guys right now, it's really in the summertime. A lot of these toys that were on sale, let's say, for instance, Play-Doh was on sale for $8.99, right? Sorry, $4.99. Now it's $8.99 for this Black Friday sale. A lot of Barbies were on sale for, let's say, $15 in the summertime. Now they're on sale for $30. So it's like, it's in all honesty, it's towards back to school. When you should really shop for Christmas.
And it's marketing.
When we were
in college, I took a course in college in when they do finance, and they tell you exactly what the businesses look at. And it's the buzzwords that get you to go out there. If you snap on the word sale in front of anything and any business, that entices the mind that, maybe I should get this. Or you hear a lot of those other adjectives like once-in-a-lifetime sale, or this is a limited edition, or this
sale.
Is limited time.
BOGO, BS.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
That's the BS sale.
So they tell you all these buzzwords in the advertising, and then they push it forward, and then knowing that a majority of the people that are shopping, they're not shopping necessarily for themselves, they're shopping for children, they're shopping for a niece or uncle or godchild, somebody that's young. And they know that if they're around that adult that has the purchasing power, when they hear sale, when they hear, like you said, the Hot Rod, BOGO, buy one, get one, they 50% off this, or they'll throw this in a bundle, it entices everybody to go out and buy that stuff. And what drives me crazy, and Hot Rod and I talked about this for like half an hour on Friday, when you see people going out and buying things on Black Friday, usually a lot of it is the same stuff that they got the year before. The same person that went out the last year and bought the 55-inch screen for $200. The next year they go out and they do the same thing. Why? Because it's a one model year higher, and it's, what, $20 cheaper than they got last year? But the TV that they bought the year before is perfectly fine.
But I think TV will die down 4 months. Who cares?
Exactly.
You know, but quickly, Sean, you want to say something about Colin Kaepernick? The floor is yours. Quickly.
Well, I'm not going to get too much into it as far as the dynamics of it, but what we talked about, what we looked at, and knowing what happened, the Colin Kaepernick thing, he basically seemingly martyred himself again with all of the things that happened with the NFL giving him the workout. They were going to give him the workout. Let's go ahead and do the workout. And then at the last
I'm sorry, Sean. Excuse me. Do you say it again?
Yes, I said again.
Okay,
and the reason why, we know that Colin Kaepernick and his people don't trust the NFL based on this three-year mission against getting him into the league because of the kneeling controversy, which we all know was hijacked and taken out of context. Trying to get him back into the NFL and him trying to play football again, he was scheduled to have a workout. There were going to be at least 25 scouts from 25 different teams that were going to show up at a workout in Atlanta. He and his people changed the venue literally an hour and a half before the workout was scheduled to happen. So instead of having 25 scouts, there ended up being 6 scouts. And of course, we know Kaepernick can throw. He still has a good arm. He still can play. He's still athletic. But the bottom line came down to, why would you do that, knowing that the NFL is looking for a reason to say, well, at least we gave it a try? Then at the same time, he and his people who don't trust the NFL decided changing the venue. And then he went on this rant about, well, I'm not going anywhere. We're not scared. They have to come here. And basically antagonizing the NFL after the workout that he changed at the last minute. So we know Kaepernick is pretty much, I can say probably officially, is done playing in any NFL team ever again. And I say he's martyred himself a second time. The reason why I say that is because it's just not going to happen. If he has said all of these things about the NFL leading up to it, why would you even get into bed with the same people that quote-unquote cheated on you, if you can understand the analogy? Then try to do everything in your power to make sure to show them, I can still do what you don't want to hire me for, and then basically spit in the face of the people that can give you a job. What sense does that make?
I have nothing to say about that.
Exactly. I hear you.
I'm sorry. I was stuck on the get in the bed part. But on a serious note, Colin Kaepernick, do we really think he's ever going to play football for the NFL again?
No.
Let's be realistic.
No.
I really don't. I never did with all this, you know. I'm not even following it. I'm a little disappointed with him, but I've never thought that they would even take him back. All this pretend, let's do this and let's do that. No. I don't think so. I just don't think it would even happen.
You know what? I cannot argue with AT. I'm on the same page. I'm over it. I'm done. Even Phil Fisher said, like, you know what? If you want to play, then go by the rules. I'll pay you to play the game. You made a statement. You know, you put yourself on the map. But now you want to play the game, be serious with it. In the end, this is a business. You know, you use your platform somewhere else. But you know what? That's Sean's boy. I don't care. I'm over it. But next.
Well, as I said before, so was I. So.
Before I go to Brother B, your girl, Lady T, Gabrielle Union.
Oh, my girl, which is not, but okay.
I guess for the argument, she is today.
All right.
Today,
I guess I'm the only woman on the panel. I'll take it. Okay, yeah. I'll take one for Gabrielle.
Today she pulled. She put a Lady T on the show America Got Talent and tried to go against all the men.
Ouch, that hurt. Oh, my stomach.
Wow.
I felt like you knocked me out. Oh, my God.
Wow.
I was waiting for this all night.
That's a real kick in the crotch, man. Wow.
So basically she talked against injustice of some racial jokes that happened on the show by Jay Leno. And the producers let her go, her and Julianne Hough, or Hough, whatever her name is.
Yeah, Julianne Hough, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lady T. Your sister made some noise.
Your sister from another mister. I guess that's where she's going, right?
Yeah. Basically, I'm like, in all serious now, what do you think? Do you think this was an overreaction or underreaction of how Gabriel Union was, handled?
You know, this is, first of all, I'm not fond of her as an actress or person, but she is who she is, first of all. We already know who she was.
She's an activist. Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind. She's an activist.
That's perfectly fine. We're all activists towards something, so that doesn't bother me. But one thing that I noticed, and I noticed this even when I was in management, that the moment that a female voices her opinion, she's a nagger. You guys might be a BITCH. You know, they have all sorts of words for us the moment that we see something wrong and we speak on it. And to me, that's just the nature of a woman. We're going to speak on it if we see something wrong to let you know, we want change or this should be changed and so forth. They were talking about her.
To clarify that, N-A-G-G-E-R.
Mm-hmm.
Nag. That's what you were saying. Okay.
Oh, yes, nag, yeah.
Okay.
Pardon me. Yes, nagging, guys.
Okay.
Yes. So whatever the case is, you know, we're always portrayed as that anyway. If you just stay silent and say, yes, sir, no, sir, you'll definitely be on the team forever and ever and ever. So I feel like I'm glad that she is voicing her opinion. Some people might look at it as, why did you wait so long? But we don't know what was behind the scenes with her complaints that were being possibly made during the time before her contract was up. And they probably even said, we're not even renewing your contract come year, so you could keep complaining. We don't know. We don't know the inside scoop of what happened before.
Yeah.
Let's not forget Nick Cannon, who used to wear his turban, used to be on that show, hint, hint. I'm not even going to go there with it, but you get my drift. So we do not know. There's also speculations of something when Jay Leno guest starred that he had racial slurs and she didn't agree with it and she spoke to someone. She has still not come out, herself stating what's going on. I guess she'll probably, of course, wait till this dies down a little bit and then possibly come out and speak. But I feel like her as a person that's who, let's say, at the top of the chain of certain things, needs to be an activist towards that. So if she's going to, speak out on this, which I'm sure she is, I think she should, because it'll allow more people to speak out. And I'm sick and tired of people saying, all we do is complain, all we do is Me Too. No, you don't know the movement behind it. You don't know what it started as. If other women want to turn it into, telltales and so forth, then that's different. But to me, this sounds like it's something genuine and it's something even more within this that more will come out.
So there's more to the story than we know.
That's what totally feel.
But before I go to Brother B, it was the Asian joke that Jay Leno said referring to that about Asian people and dogs, how Asian people eat dogs all the time, which I'm like, it's a joke, but it is somewhat true to some degree.
It's still a racial stereotype, and that's part of the problem.
I'm not gonna lie, but I think to Jay Leno, a little bit defense, he's from that old school mentality jokes that he said on the show on his Tonight Show a long time ago, when comedy there was no limits compared to now there is limits, unfortunately, or to a good degree. But Brother B, you're definitely a man with no limits because you are a racist. Homophobic. What else he is?
And you are a no limit soldier.
Yes.
Well, listen, as long as I ain't late for happy hour,
It is what it is.
All you guys sound drunk tonight.
I went.
Oh my goodness.
Greetings and salutations, everyone.
Hey, Brother B.
Greetings and salutations.
What the hell are you? What y'all talking about? What y'all talking about? Because I thought it was about the kidnappers and some other stuff. What happened?
We'll get to that soon. No, Gavin Unit was decided to step up and talk about the stuff that happened around the work environment. She see a lot of toxins going on, so is it right for her to speak up because she got let go at her job at America Got Talent? So should I speak up or keep her mouth shut?
Don't forget she was going to get. Sorry guys, don't forget she was going to be let go anyway. She only had a 1-year contract anyway, so she knew that.
True. But
the other thing that you got to also worry about as well is that she has her own Twitter following. And when she joined on to the show, the actual television show actually went up. I forgot how many millions of followers were following the show just because she was attached to it. So that's something else that the network has to deal with in losing those eyeballs to the show.
I mean, listen, fight for your right to party. That's all I see. I mean, listen, if you feel, the problem is nowadays is, like you said, there's a limit. There should be no limit to comedy. There should not be any limit to anything. Like, if I can accept what you say, how is it that you can't accept what I say or how I feel? See, there's a double standard, and it's getting on my nerves, but yet we allow it. People are afraid to talk about certain things. Why should you be afraid to talk about anything? Because what somebody in society says it or a group is going to attack you. Most of these groups, some of them are so ignorant and one-sided that they do more harm than good. And a lot of them don't see it and won't see it because they're ignorant. I mean, like I said, I have no problem. Listen, to each his own. You feel slighted, you want to band together and you want to say, fight the power. It's all good. But you know what? Not everybody has the power or certain positions for you to bring your argument to the real people. I mean, once again, Bill Cosby's in jail. Weinstein is free. But no one is, there's a double standard. It's not to get on that topic, but I'm just saying, don't pick and choose your battles if you're calling yourself a warrior.
And to your argument right there about society and picking and choosing, to add on to the Gabriel Union story, Dwayne Wade, as back the basketball player's son, they took a group photo for Thanksgiving. And the son, who I believe he's 12 years old, in a group picture, had nails on, like press-on nails, a manicure. And, of course, society went crazy and ripped the family apart. Like, how can you have your son take a family group photo like that? Of course,
that kind of shows you the dichotomy of what's wrong with society in this sense.
Yes.
Gabrielle Gabrielle Union is getting support from her husband in a family photo, and Dwayne Wade, I think it's his oldest son, his oldest son would had a crop top haircut and long press on painted nails. And in the defense of that, people who were appalled that Gabriel Union potentially or allegedly got let go of her job over something racial then took to social media to attack the family structure that they have. So it's like, how can you defend what she's going for as far as the idea that she might have been let go because of racial tension, whatever the allegation is, and then in the same breath, rip down her family unit that she's in based on that. I mean, that's what's so weird about the whole story.
But that's actually, to me, between Dwayne Wade and that, the other baby
yeah,
mother.
Exactly.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with Gabrielle Union. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
Dwayne
but,
Wade.
Yeah,
I'm just, I'm sorry, because Dwayne Wade confuses me sometimes, too. I'm not going to go into that, but anyway, I'm going to mind my business on that. But, sorry, I'll wait for Billy D. Sorry, guys. Go ahead. Because, yeah.
It just comes across as very hypocritical to judge the same person who's trying to bring attention to being potentially wrong at her job or something, potentially racist, and then in the same breath denigrate what's going on in her own family unit. And that's the problem that I have with society when it comes to social media, because in one instance, we've been talking about activism. We know that Gabrielle Union is an activist. We know that there are certain things, certain tomes that people go and use when they're talking about, well, I'm an activist for the Me Too movement, or I'm an activist for Black Lives Matter, or for social injustice, to get that taken care of, against racism, against anything in the ether that people use a platform for, which she uses because she is seen and she's been doing movies and TV, etc. And then in the same fell swoop, she is now being criticized for being in the family unit where the picture shows Dwayne Wade's son in a different light than most people would quote-unquote expect, or expect as what they would think of as normal. And I remember when I looked at the actual picture, I almost never go on Twitter. I don't have a Twitter account. But I just wanted to see what some of the comments were. And some of the comments on Twitter for that picture that was put up there were absolutely disgusting. And it's like, well, you got to learn how to be a manly person, and that's your job to show up. You played basketball all these years. You should have manly men, children, and like it's and that's it's like, where does this come from? It's like, how can you defend one side of the coin and then in the same breath denigrate the rest? I don't understand that, and that's what's the confusing part of social media.
Well, like Brother B always say on both shows, people like to pick and choose their battle/poison. You know, like reading the Bible, you take certain parts of the Bible, and that's it. The other part, you don't see it. You're blind, you know. And I guess that's what people like to do overall, you know. It's okay. Cracking up a joke about Asian people is not okay, but this, your son is wearing nails, that's okay, or vice versa. Who knows? People have nothing better to do with their lives overall. Like, K-Dog, what do you like to say about this?
Well, I learned that from a coworker of mine who was telling me about the picture, and just like what Sean said, I mean, people were getting on Gabrielle Union, but also when it came to the son, people were just ripping the son up. But they've been doing that for the longest, because do you remember when they had said that Dwayne Wade supported his son during Pride Week, and a lot of hate came online because of that.
Yeah, that's right. I remember the picture with him with the rainbow flag, I think, at a parade,
during the parade, during Pride Week. Yeah, they were just ripping them to ripped him to shreds on that one.
But I thought, Kato, I thought we're in a society now that love is love, you know.
Well, unfortunately, you live in a society that's not, people may say it, but do they practice it? No, they don't. They don't practice it, because you still have people who still have their views, who still have their own views, whether based on religion, class, race. They have their own views on a lot of things, and they'll be very outspoken about it in a heartbeat.
But you know what? You open yourself to ridicule and prosecution when you put your personal business out there. If everybody would just stop looking for these little 5, 10, 15 minutes of fame, if a lot of people would start, listen, if you're gay, so what?
Exactly.
Okay, certain things, like the elders used to tell us, certain things you just got to keep in-house. It has nothing to do with pride or letting the world know. There's certain things you just need to keep to yourself, because everybody don't need to know your business. But we live in this world nowadays where, yo, everybody, listen, I'm going to the bathroom. Oh, I'm going to wipe my butt.
This is what I've been saying all along.
Whoa,
whoa.
Everybody has heard me say this about social media. Listen, everybody puts everything out there, especially when it comes to social media. Everybody feels the need to say, well, I'm going to say whatever, but be prepared for the consequences that will come later on. If you're going to put everything out there for the world to see, you're going to have to be prepared for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
And if not everybody agrees with how you feel,
exactly, that's what I mean.
You just accept it and move on. But don't get mad because not everybody sees it the way you see it. See it the way you see it.
No,
be prepared for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
I like that concept a lot, and which I agree with it 100%. But what about how can you explain that to the younger generation who are a little bit more sensitive? Because you're hardcore. I understand where you're coming from. But what about the kids today, like Dwayne Wade's son? How you can explain that to him to a way that he can understand, to accept for who you are and not to listen to what other people are saying? You know that's very hard.
It's not my responsibility. It's not my responsibility. It's your responsibility as a human. If you want somebody to accept you for who you are, then you have to accept people for what they say and how they feel. Simple and plain.
But not everyone's going to accept it.
Yeah, well, then you know what? Then that's just something you have to deal with. Because, like I said, you can't throw stones living in a glass house. You can't do that. But if that's how you want to live, then deal with the consequences. Because, once again, you can't sit there and start running around, Mommy, they said this about me. Well, maybe you shouldn't have said it. Or maybe you should have just kept it to yourself. Not everything is about hiding. It's just about, not everybody needs to know your business. It's your business.
Well, the way that this was portrayed, as far as the it was an innocuous family picture of them standing, I guess, on their stairs. It was just a group shot. Both of Dwayne Wade's sons, Gabrielle and Dwayne Wade. It wasn't anything, like I'm dicking this picture because I want to tell the world about such and such and such. This was just I think for them and their regular family unit, a normal family picture. And what I think it is the fact that the people that are against the lifestyle of anybody that is not 18 years or older portraying themselves in their own authentic light for how they live, it's either offended them or is just another avenue for them to open their mouths and say something stupid. And
I think he's
13 12. Or 12.
No, he's 14. No, he's 14. 14. I think he's 14. Yeah.
14. So that means you're supposed to be 18 in order to be gay. Let's be realistic. Let's stop that nonsense because you have some kids that already know what they are and that's what they are.
Lady T, you said it mouthful. You said the right thing. I understand where Brother B is coming from, but also at the same time, what a lot of people don't realize is that there are a lot of young people, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, that are either gay or are exploring their own sexuality, of their own identity, and figuring out who they are and what they are in the world. And then when they either see the response of things on social media, they tend to turtle up or are afraid that if they come out and actually be themselves, not necessarily being
they'll
overly
be condemned,
flamboyant or throwing it in someone else's face to offend them, but to just be themselves, there's always fear of reprisal from the outside world that you're going to be attacked, you're going to be shunned, you're going to have things happen to you, and then you have a lot of young kids that see that example, and then you're seeing an uptick in kids' suicides. You're seeing an uptick in attacks.
and hate crimes, et cetera. Et cetera. I'm glad you said that.
Hold on. Let me see something real quick. So,
sure.
When we were younger, because mm-hmm. When we were kids, we all knew somebody that was like, he's a little, but at the same time, none of us really didn't care because it was what it was. And they didn't have to wear nails or they didn't have to wear dresses. They were who they were, and we accepted them. I remember when I was in high school, I was in junior high school, and there was a couple of dudes that was gay or chicks that was gay, and we didn't care. We accepted them for who they were, and that was that. We kept it moving. Now,
and that's
all
the
of
difference
a sudden,
now, too judgmental.
It's different.
But you whose fault is that? Whose fault is that?
Karen's fault.
We're in a society where everybody wants
mm-hmm.
to be the star of their own reality show.
You know what happened? It's different cultures because you got to remember something. Like I learned this from my brother who's a counselor in schools, and he said, like, you know, these kids go through a lot of issues because, you know, they can't be who they are because if they want to talk to their parents, the first thing some parents, especially, like I said, culture, the first thing a parent will do will be like this, oh, well, I'm going to take you to church and pray it out of you. That's the first thing they'll say.
Or pray the devil out of you.
Exactly.
Well, remember in the 80s and early 90s when you had a lot of religious people coming up with conversion camps, which
they still out there.
And they're still, on some level, they're probably still out there, probably not as well known because of the shame that's being brought to the idea of converting someone who is gay to being straight. And Mike Pence, who's the vice president, got into a lot of issues with that when he was, I believe, governor of Indiana, because he co-signed on a lot of those kinds of things when he was in Indiana. So there were a lot of issues that you have young kids going into having to try and grow up in a world where they see that if you're not quote-unquote normal, meaning if you're a guy, you got to like girls. If you're a girl, you got to like guys. And anything in between is looked at as so radical that they're looking for somebody to kind of identify with. And when you can see a celebrity who may have children or that celebrity themselves identifies with you, then you have a connection and, you know, don't feel as crowded or alone to be able to out themselves and identify themselves with that particular person or that particular behavior, that particular type of lifestyle for them. And that may help them develop who they are going forward.
Listen, I'm willing to bet any one of you $20 that someone is probably listening to this and they're listening and said, that damn brother B is homophobic. That damn brother B is anti this. That damn, why? Because they rather feel that I hate them rather than I'm just not concerned with it. Like, let's just carry on and move forward. Because they want that acknowledgement. Some way, shape, or form, they want some type of acknowledgement.
But isn't that what you said, that you don't care? And a lot of us really don't care, because to me that's their privacy, what they do behind closed doors. They're not having to go in front of everyone. Like, who cares?
Listen,
I don't care what you do with your sex.
Me neither.
Some people want those doors open. They want the doors open. And if you're not looking, they got a problem with it.
Here's what I got to say. You ain't hurting children. You ain't killing nobody. You are who you are. That's that. I mean, nobody on this earth is perfect. There's no such thing as the perfect man or the perfect woman or whatever. Listen, we all are human beings, whether gay or straight, no matter what it is.
Wait, speak for yourself, guys. I do care about two hot lesbians making love to each other. I like to see that. At least be part of that.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Oh, my God. Okay, get your gender fluid self. Come on to the next one. Come on.
Jump it in.
Oh, yeah, gender fluid.
Talk about coming out of the closet and everything. Billy D. Williams, who is 81 years old. I don't know if he's coming out of the closet. 82. Doesn't matter.
82.
John, really. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for the fact check. What the hell?
I'm pretty sure he'll correct
you. What the hell is gender fluid anyway? Billy D. Williams decided to come out as gender fluid. What the heck is that?
Here you go, one of those new terms again.
Here it comes.
Trump,
So I'm like, in your best description, what is gender fluid?
Gender fluid, from everything that I've heard and read up on, is basically another way of being identified as non-binary. Someone that doesn't identify with one particular gender, whether they feel masculine, they may feel feminine, they may feel both, they might feel none. There are some people that consider themselves asexual, where they don't identify with either. They may feel feminine, masculine. You've heard of trisexual and pansexual. There are so many different labels within the sexual identity that are being explored, and you heard of, we talked years ago, we talked about polyamory, and we had somebody that called up the show to explain the polyamorous lifestyle years back. So there are lots of different categories and different sections within that a lot of people probably don't understand or just get confused if they don't know exactly what's in there. And apparently, Billy D. Williams had explained this in an interview, I think in Esquire magazine, and he identified himself as that.
Listen, Billy D. Williams, you're a great actor. I love you, man. But you know what? I think you're just bored. You know, you just need to find something to do. You have Star Wars movie. But to come out with gender fluid, I'm just tired. People are going to hate me for saying this. I'm just tired of the labels. Whether you're a man, whether you like man, you like woman, you like to dress like a woman, dress like a man, I don't care. I'm just like, enough with the labels. You know, and this is where all the confusion comes in. Sean, one day you and I could sit down and you could tell me how it's like to be like a woman, since you are sometimes. I'd be happy to understand. I would love to understand these things. But other than that, this gender fluid thing is like, I'm sorry, it's blown out of proportion for me. Brother B?
Listen, all these new ass words, I have no patience for.
New ass, should that be part of it? You know, new ass.
I thought it's like maybe gender fluid. I thought maybe somebody was like, all right, does that have something to do with peeing or something like that? Like some bodily. I where do you get this stuff from? First of all, he would have said that in his prime. He probably wouldn't have had another job no more because the ladies would have been like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, nah, we done with you. You know what I'm saying? I'm 81 years old talking about gender fluid. Man, who could have? Listen, like I said, I don't care, man. Be you. But why you got to bring me in your conversation?
Exactly.
I don't care, man.
But see,
here's part of
the issue here. And this is what I think when you talk to anybody that is in the LGBTQ community, they will say that this is the whole argument, is the fact that since the beginning of communicating in time, people identified as either a heterosexual male or female. Anything that was different from that was considered deviant. Now, when we've gotten into society where there seems to have been an acceptance level and a tolerance level for gay and lesbian. And
That's always been. It's just that
it hasn't necessarily always been that way. Because if you think about the conversations that people have and you hear about the issues that are still on the docket, I mean, look how long it took for gay people to have quote-unquote rights that they want just the same as being able to be married. Those that
okay.
were in relationships that went to
Sean
hospitals
Black.
Weren't
Sean
allowed.
Black.
Yeah.
Who have better rights today, gay people or Black people? Who have better rights today?
Neither. we're not being serious with that question.
Because in all reality,
I'm going to
answer your question. If you ask the other person, they'll probably say the other person. If you ask a gay person, they will probably say the Black person. And if you ask a Black person, they will probably say the gay person. And as most of it is because of perception, and in a lot of instances, some of the things that have gone on politically on both sides. So I think it's going to depend on who you ask.
Well, depending on what cop you come across, you being black and gay, you can get your ass beat multiple times. I'm just saying.
Yep, I've seen that before.
They ain't shooting gay people. They ain't out here harassing gay people. They out here doing
this
black.
Somebody I know, a female that's gay, just got pulled over by a DT for something, all this and all that, your license registration. She just finished being clean and slim, thought she was in that movie. I'm going to just follow orders. And she felt harassed. Same thing.
Well, I think somebody, that was probably just an isolated incident where somebody got caught up in the moment. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I've been doing security for some years. I've seen things change, and I see some people, there's some lesbians who really seem to think that they are more man than you. And I'm like, listen, first of all, this is not even a competition. I just need you to do what you need to do so that way you can move forward and I can go next to the next person. But some of them just really want to test the boundaries and take it there. And see, this is where I think a lot of people have problems. You don't have to let me know that you're feeling extra testosterone-ish. Like, you don't have to let me know that you're feeling extra estrogenous. Like, I really, like, no one cares but you. And the fact that you're trying to force me to care is why a lot of people are angry. Don't force me to care about what you are concerned with. Don't try to man up on me. And I'm just saying, hey, you don't get offended. If I ask you to do something, yo, I need you to open your bag. Oh, you only saying that because I'm a lesbian? Oh, my gosh, here we go. That's the whole excuse. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're saying this because I'm gay? Oh, you're only saying this because I'm wearing this and I'm going to the... Nobody, you know what I'm saying? You see this? You see why people get angry? Because people want to twist the narrative. It's just like when a white person want to get mad when a black person says, oh, you're just saying that because I'm black. Oh, here we go, the race card. It's the same thing. Now it's the sexual card.
I go through that every day at work. I'm not going to lie. I use the race card every day at work. It works sometimes.
It's weird with this gender and this labeling overall. Like,
there's a lot of labels. There's a lot of labels out there. There's a lot of labels.
There's too many labels.
Like,
I can't keep up.
Like, do we need a class? Do we need school now just for a label?
No,
so
we need to stop. We need to stop with the labels. Even people in the LGBTQ community said there's too much labels even within that. Enough is enough. We get it. We get that you're black. We get that you're gender fluid. We get that you waited till you're 82 to tell us that. Thank you for letting it out. I'm over it.
Just to give you an idea. There's, like I just told you, this is non-binary, which was also in the 80s was called genderqueer. You have bigender.
Oh, gosh.
You have trigender.
Oh,
you have cisgender. There are so many different terms, terminologies, and then how they're used, where they came from, how people identify within the lifestyle, and that like, as I said before, people that are not within the lifestyle, that don't identify as such, probably will never understand. And I don't think it's as much people, quote unquote, not wanting to understand, because I think there are people that want to understand it so that either they don't offend or that they can kind of understand what it is so that they can let them live their lives. But at the same time, it's a matter of, from their side, what would they be considered as normal in that lifestyle? And I think that's the difficult part.
And for a straight guy, Sean, you know a lot about this topic, a lot about this cast too. We have to talk about that later. But on to the
very
next topic. this is going out to Brother B. Like, with the human trafficking going on, and this past weekend, Larry King and I was going back and forth via text about the T.I. situation with his daughter. And since you're a father of a teenager, overall, to make a story short, do you think there's a such thing as an overprotective parent, guardian? Like, and basically, do you think what T.I. did was, like, the right thing to do, to, you know, go to the GYN with his daughter?
Listen, I would have, if my daughter wanted me to, I would accompany her, but I ain't trying to be up in the room and all this and that. Like, that ain't none of my, first of all, listen, I'm not trying to be, sound like one of these liberal dads or whatever. I'm concerned about my daughter in every aspect. But certain things, especially at her age, I just have to let her have her own business. I don't need to be in everything, because whether she has her virginity or doesn't have it, it's not going to change the nature of our relationship. You know what I'm saying? It's just certain things that I just can't, I can't rock with. And I think he was just talking too much. That's what I think he was, and I think people just blew it out of proportion. But that's what happens when you make one statement, and somebody's always looking for something to jump on so they can start flipping about it. I've never seen, like, society in the world now, it's like people don't have their own business anymore. So as soon as Hot Rod says, oh, I like drinking Grey Goose, he's an alcoholic, and there will be 1,000
yeah.
Twitters about him being alcoholic, and next thing you know, oh, he drinks alcohol while he's out with his kids on a bicycle while driving a car. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, after that, once he makes one statement, you're everything. You're everything,
you know,
after that. Negative.
I like that concept, and I can relate to that. I've been accused of being alcoholic, but my true friends know who I really am, you know? So I could relate to that concept. Thank you. And for the record, I only drink 5 days a week, not 7. Well, go ahead.
Well, listen,
you
what do you call the person that drinks water every day? What do you call the person that drinks water every day? Well, hydrated, right? But somebody will look for a reason to pick on that. Oh, you probably drink a lot of water because your sugar's up. So, you know, you might want to do something. Oh, my gosh, here we go. It's always something. And I blame this labeling thing on Lady T.
Don't blame it on me.
She don't like chicken.
I don't like chicken, so what would that label me? And I'm not a vegan. I'm not a vegetarian.
Because there's so many different levels of chicken, and you don't like none of them.
I don't classify myself with none of it. But
that's right. I'm going on Twitter to shut you down, Lady T, right now.
Oh,
hey,
boy,
Lady T don't like chicken.
Popeye's chicken. They're going to be the only ones tweeting.
Chicken movement.
Nah,
they
ain't labeling nobody.
In all seriousness, though, with the T.I. situation, I was able to see the, Jada Pinkett Red table talk when he was on it. And he even said, you know, it was a bad joke that he made. First of all, he never said that he was in any room with her, whatever the case may be. You know, I guess whoever tweeted and, you know, was on Instagram and whatever said, you know, he was in the room, blah, blah, blah. He said, I never said anything like that in the interview. He said he never even said her age. So they automatically assumed he was doing this while she was 18. He said he always accompanied her. And it's not Tiny's daughter, but whoever is the other baby mom was there. So whatever the case is, it's like people really turn things into what they want to see it as. And I think it's very, very sad. But something that was a little bit disturbing to me that he said is when Jada asked, you know, did his daughter feel offended? He said, yes, he had to apologize to her because, yes, it was a bad, you know, joke and this, that, the next. People are missing points. There's fathers who don't even go with their daughters to the doctor. I remember my dad would go with me to the doctor when my mom couldn't. You know what I mean? My dad actually went with me because my mom wasn't able to that day and I needed a bra. And the sales associate had to help me, but he accompanied me. You understand what I'm saying? He wasn't in the fitting room or anything. He just took me to the store, told her what I needed. She helped me. So there's parents that actually assist kids who are of a certain age with certain things. Now we're talking about checking her hymen to make sure she's a virgin or not a virgin, but then when it was asked to him about the son and so forth, He said something about, oh, if his son has a baby, it wouldn't disrupt his household as much as the daughter having a baby at an early age in her teens or whatever the case may be. And even Jada, like, stepped back. And I paused for one second and was like, is he slow? It's disrupting someone's household. So give me a break with that. Why is it that we don't teach our young boys the same way we want to teach the girls about sex. You guys get condoms, and I'm not a guy. All of you guys on the panel, I'm sure, probably got your condoms, and it was just like practice safe sex. Whereas a female, we're not getting that. You can't have sex until you're married, so forth and so forth. You get my point?
No, that's a daddy. You know what? That's a daddy daughter thing. That's a dad is right there. That's a daddy daughter thing. I have to say that's a daddy daughter thing strictly. It's just certain things, man. When your baby, your little girl.
Why is fair compared to your son?
I don't think it is. I told y'all how I got to it. That wasn't a daddy daughter thing. My father actually trusted me that I would be responsible for at a certain age when I was ready. I never got the whole "Are you having sex?" and all of this talk. Nope.
No, I get it.
You're a good person. That's why. Oh man, I'm joking.
But with some cases,
once again, that's a daddy and daughter thing, man. Like this. So listen, we all know that the dynamics between the mother and son, father and son, mother and daughter, father and daughter, for years have always been different. So let's not try to like not put that in there, because it's always been like that. Mothers and sons relationships are different from fathers and daughters a lot of times in traditional households.
But as far as education, I don't think so. How would moms have taught you guys about sex education? Because I know what my mother kept telling my brothers. You know what I mean? So it's like,
and it has nothing to do with sex education. It has to do with that's my baby girl. You know what I'm saying? He's supposed to go out there and be a soldier, take care of your sister, or take care of your family, or somehow just be take care of your mother. They're supposed to, you know, boys are supposed to be, you know, different. Men in general are expected to be different. But like I said, when it comes to daddy and his little girl, I mean, listen, we love our kids both the same, but that little girl, that is, man, listen.
Hey, you know what?
You gotta be in that position to understand, man.
K-Dog, quickly before I make my statement. Go ahead, K-Dog.
Well, growing up, it was like both parents, because it's like, you know how it is with Haitian parents. My mom told me some crazy stories when I was a teenager, you know, coming up about sex, and I'm like, damn, man, it's like they made it seem like it was kind of disgusting. But in the meantime, you have other people introducing you to a bunch of things when it comes to sex, and it's like a lot of the guys are like, hey, man, you know, I want my son. That's my son. He's gonna be a ladies' man and stuff like that, you know. But when it comes to the daughters, it was like an iron fist. Like, hell no, you ain't bringing that up in here.
I'm not going to lie to you. Right, when I saw my son hugging other girls in school, I'm like, yo, that's my man. That's my junior. And when I saw my daughter hugging other kids in school, get away from her. Stay away from her. I'm biased. I'm not going to lie to you.
I think a lot of that is because most of the males know exactly what they did when they were younger.
Yeah,
they knew either
exactly
what they got away with when they were younger or what they learned when they were younger, and they know,
we know the game.
Oh, wow, this could happen
we know the game.
With my
we
daughter.
The game. Yeah.
But
yeah.
ask a mother about her son. She's going to feel the same way your father feels about the daughter.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a difference.
Sound like a lot of mama's boys on the panel. So cute.
Listen, I'll be the first one. Listen, if my mama was still here, I'd be going to get a plate of food every, you know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't no shame in my game. I was a mama's boy. Why not? That's the listen.
Nothing is wrong with that, FYI.
Yeah. Well, I know you're joking.
Jeez.
Yeah. But you know,
my mother put me on when I was young, and the thing is, like I tell people, my mother was very graphic with hers. She was very graphic. She went into graphic details. I'm like, geez, mom, you didn't have to tell me all of that. She's like, no, I'm just telling you that so you could know. And for those of you who's met my mother, she's very outspoken.
Yeah,
be the young, respectable man you've become. Oh, yeah.
Stop lying. My dad don't even get that. K-Dog, Brother B, Lady T, and my girlfriend, Sean Black. Thank you so much, guys.
Speak for yourself, girlfriend.
You guys be safe in this weather.
Oh, my goodness.
Be safe in this weather, y'all.
Oh, yeah, Brother B, what's going on? Brother B, you have a show tomorrow night?
I have, yeah, but I have no idea what it is yet.
Okay,
oh,
so it's like a Joker's Wild deal. Just throw the dice
out. Yeah,
something.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. It'll be something. Maybe about.
And what's the name of the show, Brother B? Just to tell us how it's. For those
who don't
know. The menu. Yeah. At 8:30 tomorrow night.
Yeah,
right,
we'll be
night,
serving
guys.
Up something. Good night, Jay.
All right. Good night, y'all.
Good night, everybody. Peace out. The pleasure was all yours. That's right.